It takes a cowhand on horseback a full day to ride from one end of the Lazy Bee Ranch to the other, across rock-strewn hills and through cactus-filled draws, over land primeval in its stony wildness. The ranch, which occupies about 250 square miles along the Arizona-New Mexico border, has its own mountain, a perfect cone visible from the chaise longue in her parents' bedroom, where Sandra Day liked to curl up and read. As a girl, Sandra would climb Round Mountain with her father, careful to avoid the rattlesnakes. The future justice could stand at the peak and see and feel the vastness and ancientness, as well as the forbidding desolation and living wonder of her family's domain. "We thought of it as our own country," Sandra Day O'Connor recalled of the ranch that had been in the Day family for more than a century. Far distant mountain ranges ring a swelling and undulating mesa. If the rains come in the winter, the land blooms with yellow and purple wildflowers in the spring. In the summer, a searing sun scorches the precious grass in the pastures. Volcanic hills are littered with boulders, angry black and dark red, as O'Connor vividly described in her memoir of the Lazy Bee. Molten lava suddenly cooled as it burst forth from the earth's core. In the flatlands to the east, yucca plants stand as sentinels that are weirdly beautiful. Their stalks, when dry, make good cattle prods or fine lances for children's war games. No river runs through the Lazy Bee, but the Gila River, a tepid stream most of the year, a torrent in storms, skirts the northern edge. Canyons with chalky cliffs and cottonwood trees shelter fine picnic grounds. As a girl, Sandra would climb into the dark caves of prehistoric Indians or, hair flying, gallop her horse across the open range. On clear nights, she would stand with her family, in silent awe, looking at the glittering constellations past the sweep of the diaphanous Milky Way into the universe beyond. Returning home from an all-day roundup in the pitch black of a moonless, cloudy night, she was guided by the tiny sparks struck by horseshoe on rock, thrown off by the rider ahead. Sandra Day was born on March 26, 1930, in the city of El Paso, Texas, the only city close enough, 4 hours by train, to have a proper hospital. The Arizona ranch house to which she was brought a couple of weeks later, after the 200-mile trip, was a square, four-room adobe structure. Known as headquarters, it stood 8 miles from the main road. Visitors were announced by the cloud of dust they raised. The house had no running water, indoor plumbing, or electricity. Coal gas lamps lit the rooms. The bathroom was a wooden privy 75 yards downwind from the house. Harry and Ada May Day and their baby daughter Sandra slept in the house. The ranch's 4 or 5 cowboys slept on the screened porch. Flies were everywhere. On still summer nights when it was too hot to sleep, Sandra's parents soaked her bed sheets in cool water. "It was no country for sissies," O'Connor recalled. "We saw a lot of life and death there." Until she was 9 years old, Sandra grew up as an only child. She had no neighboring playmates, but also no shortage of fascinating and fearsome living creatures. Animals, insects, and birds, including antelopes, javelinas, coyotes, bobcats, snakes, Gila monsters, desert tortoises, scorpions, and all manner of spiders. Most of them had teeth, horns, or poison, but Sandra tried to make some of them into pets. Until she was about 4 years old, Sandra liked to play with a bobcat named Bob, who would arch his back and growl around fresh meat, but was otherwise reasonably domesticated, until he disappeared one night after raiding the chicken coop. Footnote: "When I was a child, I had as a pet a cat," recalled Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson III of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. "When Sandra was a child, she had as a pet a bobcat." Over the years, Sandra collected various critters, including a sparrow hawk named Sylvester, who perched watchfully in the eaves and would splatter hawk droppings in her hair, and a desert tortoise that learned to wait by the icebox for food. We tried keeping a baby coyote as a pet, but learned that what the cowboys said was true. You cannot make a pet of a coyote, Sandra recalled.